For our New Testament reading this morning, please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 10, which starts on page 986 of the Bibles provided for you. We're going to read chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and we're going to focus on verses 6 through 10 this morning. You may remember that Paul and Silas and Timothy had wanted to go back to Thessalonica to see the Thessalonians and encourage them, but Satan had stopped them somehow. He kept stopping them from going. And in verse 5, at the end of last week's passage, we read that Paul and his friends were worried that Satan would have tempted the Thessalonians to fall away from the faith, that while they were apart, Satan would use that time to pull the Thessalonians away. But then in our verses today, listen for why Paul and his friends are so encouraged here in these verses. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 10. This is the Word of God. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we were destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and has brought us the good news of your faith and love, and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. We'll end the reading of God's perfect word here at this point. The K-State men's basketball team had a great run this year. They pushed through the end of the season and shared a conference title with Texas Tech. And they earned themselves a number 4 seed in the national tournament. But as the tournament approached, a lot of people said that K-State might struggle because star player Dean Wade had re-injured his foot. And sure enough, when the tournament came, K-State with Wade on the sidelines was upset by a 13 seed. They were missing something without Wade on the court for them. They were missing a key in their success. Friends, there will be times when you are sidelined from the work that God has given you to do. Whether it's serving God in your workplace or in your family or in your church context, there will be times when you are knocked out of commission. It may be illness, it could be financial circumstances, it could be events in your family life. But there will be times when you can't serve the way you want to. And when that happens, you might be afraid that what has happened to K-State will happen to the K-State basketball team, will happen to your family, will happen to your church, will happen to the context where you are serving. Are things going to fall apart if you're not there, if you're not able to serve? Paul's work with the Thessalonians had been cut short, as we have studied already in the past few weeks. And he had wanted to get back to them to see them because they were fending for themselves against persecution. These were new Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. And as we read in verse 5, Paul was afraid that Satan would use that suffering and that separation from Paul to pull them away from the faith. Paul had been sidelined. He had been taken out of commission in his work with the Thessalonians. He was worried that things might fall apart without him. But here in our passage, Paul talks about how God encouraged him during that time. And the source of Paul and Silas and Timothy's encouragement here is that God was still working, even when they were out of commission. And they were reminded that God is not limited by our limitations, that God is not limited by the times that we are taken out of the equation. Friends, some of you are going through this right now. You have been taken away from opportunities where you are serving. You have been taken out of commission. And all of us will face this in our lifetimes. So whether it's right now or in the future, when you are sidelined, take comfort in knowing that God is still at work. When you are sidelined, take comfort in knowing that God is still at work. There are three aspects of God's work that Paul references here in our passage. So first of all, take comfort in knowing that God works even when you can't. God works, he works even when you can't. To understand why Paul and Silas and Timothy are so encouraged here in our passage, we need to go back to what I've been talking about from chapter 2 and the earlier part of chapter 3. You may remember that in chapter 2, verse 18, as I've said already, Paul had been hindered from getting back to Thessalonica by Satan. Satan himself had stopped them from getting back. And then, as I've said in chapter 3, verse 5, just before our passage, Paul was afraid that this meant the Thessalonians would be pulled away from the faith. God had used Paul in a powerful way to bring the gospel to the Thessalonians. Paul had seen what God could do through him in the lives of the Thessalonians. He'd seen their lives changed. But the concern now is that since Paul has been taken out of the equation, that the Thessalonians wouldn't have the foundation that they need, that they would be pulled away. And so all of that concern is the backdrop to the verses that we're looking at this morning. And that explains the relief, the encouragement that Paul and Silas felt when Timothy came back with this good news. And the good news was that even during that time of separation, the Thessalonians had true faith and true love, that they remembered Paul kindly and that they wanted to see him. And it's such a relief that in verse 8, they say, "For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord." In other words, Paul's saying, now we can go on. We can go on with all the challenges we're facing, and this hindering by Satan, knowing that God is sustaining you. That even while we're apart from you, he is working in your lives to preserve you and give you the foundation you need. Satan may have thought that he could destroy the Thessalonian church by keeping Paul away. He may have thought that that separation would destroy the church. And it's true that God could use Paul in a powerful way, but God proved that he didn't need Paul to sustain the Thessalonian church. He could work through Paul, and he could work not through Paul. And you see both of these ideas in Paul's other letters, the idea that he wants to be there and serve, but he also knows that God can work without him. In Philippians, Paul was writing from prison. He had been taken out of commission in an even greater way at that time, and he was writing to the Philippian church. And listen to what he tells them in chapter 1 of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6 of Philippians. He says, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Paul's confidence in prison was, when he was cut off from these people, is that God will bring that work to completion, that God is still working. And he even then says later in that chapter, in verses 12 and 14, he says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul wanted to be out there. He wanted to be out there serving the church. He wanted to help them when it was possible. But when he couldn't, when he had no choice but to stay separate from them, he did not despair, because he knew that God was still working, that God is going to save his people and protect him. It's up to him. And so even when Paul was on the sidelines, he could celebrate and rejoice because God was sustaining them. The account of Daniel in the lion's den gives us another picture of this. Kids, you probably know the story of Daniel in the lion's den, right? The king, Darius, made a rule that people could only pray to him, and Daniel was caught praying, and so he had to be thrown into the lion's den. You may remember that the king didn't want to do it. He didn't want to throw him in, but he had made a rule, and he had to stick with it. And so when he threw him in the lion's den, he said to him, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And then it tells us in Daniel 6 that the king was up all night. He was fasted all night. He couldn't sleep. He was anxious about what was going to happen to Daniel. And then listen to the way it describes his arrival at the den the next day. Daniel 6, beginning of verse 20, says, "As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, 'O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?' Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me.' Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den." The king Darius here experienced some of the same encouragement that Paul is experiencing in our passage this morning. In both cases, they weren't able to help. They weren't able to be there to intervene. But at the end of that time where they hadn't been able to help, they were able to look and see that God had been there working. That even when they had been taken out of the equation, God continued to be faithful and to protect and serve his people. And friends, the same is true for you and me today. We should desire to be there, to help, to serve the kingdom in the ways that God has given us opportunities to do that. But there will be times when you can't. And the reality is that God can save his people even when you are not involved, even when you can't be involved. God can build his church. God can save souls. He can encourage people and establish them even when you are out of commission. Maybe you're in a situation similar to Paul's right now, where you're separated by distance, by physical distance, from someone that you want to help. Maybe you have a family member or a friend who is struggling or drifting or even professing unbelief. And you're anxious about them, and you are worried about them. And maybe you think to yourself, if I could be there, if I could do something, what if I could be there to present the gospel to them, to encourage them in the way they need it? And that can cause anxiety. It can be a great burden to bear. But friends, in those moments when you can't do anything, if you really are cut off from that person, or you have no option to help, take comfort in knowing that God is working. He is still working. He will save his people even when you can't be involved. If it is his will to save that person, he will do that, even if you can't be there. Maybe you've been sidelined in another way. Maybe you have an illness or a condition that limits your abilities, or even one that will take you out of this world sooner than you had hoped. It's natural at a time like that to wonder what's going to happen to the people that you care about. How are your loved ones going to go on without you? What's going to happen to them when you can't be there, whether it's because you're gone or because you're limited and can't be in every place? Brothers and sisters, in those moments, and even as you think about those possible moments in your future, take comfort in knowing that God will work when you can't. When you can't be there, even when you think you're needed, God is working. And one of the things that God taught Paul through this experience was that God's power is not limited when we are out of commission. So secondly, when you're sidelined, take comfort in knowing that God works powerfully with or without you. God works powerfully with or without you. In verse 9 of our passage, where it says, "For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you?" That word for return literally means repay. It means to pay him back for what he has done. And Paul and Silas and Timothy here are saying something like, what could we ever give back to God for what he has done for you? How could we ever repay him for how he saved you? And as Paul and his companions looked at what God had done without them, they realized there's nothing we can do to enhance God's power in this situation, to add to God's power to work in this situation. They knew and they realized their complete dependence and gratitude on God for the work that he does. The same word for repay is used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Psalm 116, verse 12. In Psalm 116, verse 12, where the psalmist says, "What shall I render to the Lord for his benefits to me?" What can we give back to God for the way he has powerfully worked in our lives? Because the reality is that we don't add anything to God's power by being involved in his work. God does not draw his power from the number of people who are following him. He has all the power. In books and movies, especially in superhero movies, it's become a bit of a trope that the team has to come together at the end to defeat the super powerful enemy. One of the heroes can't defeat this enemy alone, but with their powers combined, they can defeat this enemy. And the idea is if you pool your resources, you're more powerful than any one person. And there's some truth to that, humanly speaking. It's true in our relationships to each other. We are designed to be part of a church. We're like organs in a body who need each other, and we're supported by each other. We are stronger together. But the danger is if you start thinking about that way about the work of the kingdom, you might start to think that God needs our gifts and power to get his work done. We can start to think that God needs us, and if we're knocked out of commission, he won't be able to do quite as much without us. But we are not part of a superhero team with God. We're not pooling our resources with him. He is all powerful. He has all the power, and he gives us some of that power to work in his kingdom for where it's needed. But we don't add anything to his power by serving him in his kingdom. When you are knocked out of commission, that doesn't weaken God at all. There's nothing you can give to add to what God can do. And you see this in Paul's ministry elsewhere. You can see that he knew that it wasn't his power that made his preaching effective. He spent his ministry taking the focus off of himself to try to draw attention to the power of God that was at work. Listen to the way that he talks in 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5. 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5. Paul tells the Corinthians, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul knew that the surpassing power belonged to God. So when Paul's power and influence was taken out of the equation, he could rest in knowing that the same powerful God was still just as powerful and working in the situation where he was not able to work. When you understand just how powerful God is, you won't be as worried when your power is taken away. How do you think about your role in God's kingdom? Does God need you? Again, we should want to serve in whatever ways we can. And God does choose to work through his people in this world, but think for a moment about how you think about your limitations. Do your weaknesses or limitations make you anxious about what will happen to the people you care about? Or do you trust that God has all the power, whether you are involved or not? We've had our own experience like Paul's in the RPCNA in recent years. In the first half of the 20th century, we had dozens of missionaries across East Asia. And because of changes in the government in the middle of the 20th century, they were driven out. And you can imagine the feeling of those missionaries as they were leaving on those boats and they looked back and they wondered, is Satan destroying all of our work? What's going to happen with us taken out of the equation? And we've gotten the answer. God doesn't need us. If he chooses to work, he will work, and he has all the power. And he will preserve his church, even if we are taken out of the equation. When God has given you gifts for serving the church or serving your family, you might start to forget where those gifts came from. You might start to think that the world needs your gifts and influence, but friends, God can and will give his power in just the way it's needed, even if you can't be a part of it. So take comfort in that. Now, as I've said already a few times, this idea that God can work without you shouldn't stop us from wanting to be involved, wanting to serve, or wanting to be a part of that kingdom work. And you see that desire in this passage as well this morning. The good news is that since God is working, he can put you back in again. He can put you into the game again, even if you feel you're completely out of commission. So thirdly, when you're sidelined, take comfort from knowing that God can work through you again in the future. He can work through you again in the future. Paul and Silas and Timothy were relieved and encouraged that God was working. We've seen that already. But that didn't mean that they didn't still want to be involved and to help. In verse 9, they talk about how grateful they are to God, but that moves right into verse 10. If you look at verse 10, they go right back to praying night and day that they will get to see the Thessalonians, that they will get to be there to build up their faith, to build up what was lacking in their faith. And even though the Thessalonians were doing well, Paul and Silas and Timothy knew they could use some more help. They knew that there were ways that they were lacking in their faith. And knowing that God was working didn't stop Paul and his friends from wanting to be there and wanting to help. Paul realized that it was up to God to put him back in. Paul and Silas and Timothy realized that if they were going to serve the Thessalonians again, it was up to God to make that happen again. And all through the history of God's people, he has chosen to work through people who seemed like they couldn't have done it, or who seemed like they were put out of commission. Because the power belongs to God, he can choose to work through humanly impossible circumstances, and often does choose to do that to show his power. We saw an example of that earlier when we read about Abraham and Sarah. God chose a childless couple who were past childbearing years to give them a child that was in the family of Christ. After God promised Adam and Eve that a seed of the woman would be the Savior, who would crush the serpent, after that, every faithful woman, before the birth of Christ, every faithful woman who believed that promise would wonder, could it be my child? Could it be my child? But in Sarah's mind, she was out of the running. There was no hope in her mind that she might be part of that line of Christ. But God looked at that situation and showed his power by bringing her back in and making her a part of the family of Christ, giving her a son, Isaac, who would then be an ancestor of Christ himself. You see the same idea of someone who looks like they're completely out of commission being put back in the life of Peter in Acts. After James had been put to death, Herod figured out that the leaders in Jerusalem were happy when the apostles were killed, and so he arrested Peter and had plans to put Peter to death. And because the apostles had been freed from prison by the Lord before, Acts 12 tells us that Herod put four squads of soldiers in charge of Peter. And the night before Peter was going to be executed, Peter was chained between two soldiers behind a locked door guarded by sentries inside of a fortress with an iron gate. Peter was out of commission. It looked like his public ministry was done. But God had other plans, and God wanted to use Peter powerfully for many more years in the work of his kingdom, and so he sent an angel, and he knocked the chains off of his wrists and walked him out past the sentries and left him out standing in the street. Because God chooses to use people who seem put out of commission, who seem like they couldn't do that work of the kingdom, and puts them right back in. And Paul and Silas and Timothy realized that. That's why they pray this here in our passage. They ask the Lord night and day to put them back in, to send them back to Thessalonica, to be involved, even though it looked like that wasn't possible at this point. Friends, if you have been sidelined and you believe that you could be of service to the kingdom of God, cry out to God to work through you again. Even if it seems impossible, cry out to him to put you back in, to work despite humanly impossible circumstances, to use you just like Paul and Silas and Timothy were praying here in this passage. And when you pray that, you can take comfort in knowing that God will say yes if it is for the best. If that's what's best for you, if that's what's best for all of his people, he will put you back in. He will restore your opportunity to serve. And if not, if he chooses to leave you where you are, he will keep working in an even better way. Either way, you can rest in his powerful work. You can take comfort in knowing that he is working and that he will keep working through you or through someone else. Now, friends, this way of thinking, this idea of trusting God's active work in this world and in our lives, is not based on the knowledge that there's some sort of a God up in heaven, that there's some sort of a supreme being. Having this trust that God is working, that he's working for the good of his people, for his disciples, comes from serving our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. God is not just some impersonal, all-seeing, all-powerful being far above us. We worship a God who has become flesh, who walked among us, who loved us and saved us from our sins and brought us together as a people. And when Jesus had finished his work, he gave us a commission. He gave his disciples and through them to us a commission on what we should do. We should have the desire to fulfill that commission. That's what Paul is wanting to do here. That's this kingdom work that I've been talking about. But remember what Jesus said at the end of it. At the end of the Great Commission, he told us, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." There in that Great Commission, you have that tension between the idea that we need to do this. We need to get out there. We need to serve. We need to make disciples of the nations. But at the same time, we rest in the power of God, and specifically in the power of Jesus Christ, our Savior who is with us and who is working and who holds all things together by the word of his power. The power is his, and he will never abandon us in the work that he has given us to do. So, brothers and sisters, when you are sidelined, take comfort in knowing that God is still at work. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we naturally want to rely on ourselves. We like to think that we can do it, that we have the power, that we have something to add in and of ourselves. But Lord, we thank you for the truth from your word this morning, that all the power is yours. And Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that that is when our power fails, when our health fails, when our circumstances hamper us, when our lives are turned in directions we never wanted them to go. So Lord, we ask this morning, especially for those of us who are already experiencing that right now, that you would bring great comfort. You would comfort us through knowing that our Savior is at work and that he loves us and will never forsake us, and that your plan is not thwarted, your plan is not damaged by our failings or our weaknesses or our limitations. We also pray that you would use us, that you would continue to use us in the work of your kingdom, that you would put us back in, that you would give us strength that we shouldn't have, humanly speaking, that you would use us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ around this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.